Bortles fires to the middle of the field, caught by Allen Robinson. That's a first down. He hit A-Rob in the middle of the field inside the 20-yard line. Got it down to the 18-yard line. First down, Jacksonville.
And I can say it with confidence. That one takes Allen Robinson over 1,000 yards receiving. Congratulations, A-Rob.
Green fields at the 28-yard line. Tries to run to his right, to the 35, to the 40. Rashad Green in the open field, in the Colts territory. Rashad Green up the right sideline, inside the 20, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Jacksonville! Rashad Green has extended the lead for the Jaguars.
Second down and 5, 2:30 to play. Under center is Bortles. Play fake. Blake running to the left now, stays behind the line, fires toward the end zone, wants Allen Hurns, diving attempt, touchdown Jacksonville! Hurns, a diving touchdown catch! This is a 53-yarder from the left hash. Jason Myers for the win, Carson Tinker snapped it, Brian Anger will hold it. The snap and holder good, he kicks it up, this kick is good! This kick is
wow!
Good! The Jaguars have beaten the Ravens! On a 53-yard field goal from Jason Myers. Are you kidding me? Jags winning in Baltimore.
That's what this offseason for, to reset, get our mind right, because next year it really shouldn't be any excuse why we should be an AFC South Division champs.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome in here. I already got this one on the text line, Tony. The hell did I say that merited this one? Hypocrisy 101, good job, Mike Dempsey. Asterisk, there's an asterisk. Oh, I think they meant an exclamation point. They tried it the earlier time, they misspelled my name, but they've had the exclamation point. Anyway, if Brady did it, surely they would not allow him in the Hall of Fame, but Manning not wow, hashtag Jaguars Today. What?
I don't know. I never heard you say that they weren't going to let Tom Brady in the Hall of Fame.
No, and the question from Jeff was, do you think people care about Peyton Manning and HGH? No, I don't. Well, I'm not saying it's right that they don't care. You're asking me, do I think the majority of people care? No, there doesn't seem to be a buzz. Is it hypocritical of people to care more about Brady than Manning? Perhaps so. I'm not saying that. You know, that seems like a butthurt Patriot fan. I don't use the term butthurt very often because it's so immature to use. But in this particular instance, I think butthurt may be an accurate description. I didn't know I'd be saying that like 5 times butthurt in the first 10 minutes of the program to start the week, Tony. It's a good start to the program.
Well, you know, the teams that Manning has been on hasn't been accused of cheating over and over and over and over again on the way to those championships.
Or haven't been actually convicted of cheating.
Right.
Right. And lost draft picks and huge fines, biggest in NFL history, over cheating. You know, so I don't know. You know, did he do it? If he did, then he cheated. Yes, absolutely. Should it matter? Yes, I believe I said that as well. But somebody is a displaced Patriot fan, and they're shedding that single tear today. Oh, it's bitter as it burns down your cheek, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. You can't stand Peyton Manning to get any recognition, can you? Today, that's our Tom Bush question today. We're not going to dwell on Peyton Manning, but Johnny O is in with us today, and he will certainly talk about covering Peyton in his time in Indianapolis. We'll talk Jaguar free agency, which is impending. But the question today, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family Dealerships, is this: who's your all-time quarterback, Mount Rushmore? Yes, that question has been done a billion times. It's an appropriate one to do today. Is Peyton Manning make your top four all-time? But, Tony, honestly, the question I'm more excited about and that we've gotten more feedback about already in the early stages, it is National Cereal Day today. Okay, not cereal killer, not cereal television, cereal breakfast. Cereal, comma, breakfast is what it is, all right? And so we posted one on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. Give us your all-time top five of the bowls of sugary sweetness that I love so much. Oh, they don't have to be sugary ones. If you want to be a straight Cheerios guy, you be a straight Cheerios guy. Do whatever you like. So share with us your thoughts on that.
There may be a certain style of Cheerios on my list.
Oh, is there now?
Yeah.
A honey nut, perhaps,
oh,
a variety.
Yeah.
People love the honey nut Cheerios. I've never been a fan. But that's okay. That's what makes America great. We've got Post. We've got General Mills. We've got them all, baby. Sugary cereal is what makes America great. No question about it. All right, John Osier will join us here momentarily. Take a first break. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. And we'll talk with the senior writer from Jaguars.com. We're live over at Hogan Road, and we got Osh to stop by with us, Tony. I'm very impressed by his dedication to the program. So that's coming up And if you'd like to get on board today, 641-1010, tweet us at MD_1010XL and at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns of Gold Monday. We come back with John Osier in studio on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Johnny O is in the house. Good morning. Happy Monday, everybody. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, and the senior writer from Jaguars.com, who I'm pointing a plastic knife at this very moment, Mr. John Osier.
Free agency, baby.
Free agency. Yeah. Got my knife out. I'm ready to cut somebody over but Eric Weddle.
I just flashed a picture of Lovie Smith up there.
Yes.
Has he had a weird offseason or what?
It's a strange time to be hired as a major college football coach.
And a couple of months ago.
Isn't it?
He went through a sort of a similar situation where it looked like he was safe after the season. And then all of a sudden, within a couple of days, a weird timing on him being fired and replaced by Dirk Cutter. And then a couple of months later, sort of a similar where it's sort of out of the blue. Like, remember, Lovie got fired. You'd expected he was past that first wave of coaches
right. Who
got fired. All of a sudden, it's out of the blue, and Twitter, it's breaking, and it's happening. And sort of the same deal with this, where the Illinois coach, all of a sudden, he's gone, and Lovie's, you know. So, a strange offseason for Lovie Smith.
These guys are not wired like we are. I mean, honestly, how many times do I need to say it? You got $5 million or whatever Lovie had coming to him this year to sit back and do a little TV work, you know, dabble.
Sure.
Pick the job that best suits you
going
into next year. And he would have gotten a job, whether it was in college or the pros.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know, he wants to work. He wants to get in there. And Illinois, well, I mean, that's where he coached for a long time, you know. So.
And you sort of wonder, he was in Chicago for a while. Did he have connections there and know people from there? You know,
well, I think they have a brand new AD that came in, and on his first day, he fired the coach and wiped the entire coaching staff. Got knocked out.
So their head coach in like 7 months with Lovie coming in.
What's going on? I have no idea.
Because the other coach got fired midseason.
Is this the stink that Zook has left over? You know, is this just leftover stink from Zook?
Bad leadership.
What it is? Is that what it boils down to?
I thought they had some kind of scandal. On campus this year. I can't remember what it was.
They may have, man. I can't keep up with college scandals. They're so prolific.
Unless they're in your state.
That's right. Even then, there's sometimes too many to keep up with. John, we'll get to Jaguars free agency coming up. But certainly, you covered Peyton Manning for a number of years. And I would imagine, but I don't want to put words in your mouth, that he'd be on your very short list of the all-time best, maybe the best quarterback in your personal opinion.
Well, I think he's in the conversation for the best. I'm not a guy who necessarily counts rings when I'm counting greatness for quarterbacks. I think it's a factor, but I think it's played up too much. You know, he's one of the guys that changed the game and that has defined the game over the course of the game's history. I mean, when he came in, football was being played on offense in the NFL different than when he left, and he was a part of changing it. There was a school of thought at the time that you couldn't call plays from the line of scrimmage and couldn't run an offense from the line of scrimmage anymore, that it was too complicated. Jim Kelly with the K gun had changed that a little bit, but for a long time teams hadn't done it. And I can remember in 2002 when the Colts lost to the Jets, they lost big 41-0
in
the playoffs. And Peyton, during that game, he had sort of just started that year with calling so much from the line of scrimmage. He had done some before, but that was really the first year where him at the line of scrimmage and the gyrations and the pointing that he became famous for. And I can remember it was a national media guy, and I forget who it was. I was standing in the press box watching the end of that game, and the guy said to me, "Until Peyton stops this bleepity bleep at the line of scrimmage, he's never going to be any good." Well, you know, but that just shows you the perception of it, that you couldn't do it. And, you know, over 15 years, that became not only what he was about, but something that now it's sort of perceived that if a quarterback can't do some element of that at the line, that he's not any good. So it's become the way you have to play the game. So in many ways, he changed that. Now, the rules changed along with it, which allowed all quarterbacks to really jump the productivity. But, yeah, I think he's in that conversation of 5, 6, 7 guys who are the best ever to play the position.
Yeah, it's interesting because Steph Curry gets criticism now saying that he's being a bad example to kids on how to come up as a basketball player that he's going to, they're all going to think that you should be shooting from 35 feet. Well,
right.
What's wrong with striving to be
sure.
better than anyone that's ever come before you? And maybe, you know, Peyton Manning in that sense had the mental ability that
right.
maybe a lot of guys didn't have at the line of scrimmage
right.
and took it from an era where that had been stopped to where it's never been acceptable to shoot jumpers from 30
right.
plus feet
now, you
unless
do
you
wonder,
can make them over and over and over again.
I had this conversation, I think it was with my son this weekend. Is Steph Curry changing the game, or is he sort of like LT, where he's just...
Is he above the game? Right.
So good. I mean, everybody thought LT was changing the game.
Right.
Well, as it turned out, he was just LT, and nobody else could really play at that level. And so everybody tried to find these pass-rushing linebackers for years that would dominate the game, and it really didn't happen for a long time.
My guess is he's not changing the game.
Right.
The three-point line changed the game.
Right.
But you found out that the vast majority of people... That is outside of their range. You know
yeah.
what I mean? The college 3-point line is one thing. That was just, you know, just a
right.
19-foot, 9-inch shot.
Maybe they put in a Steph line.
Yeah, maybe they do. And that, well, Mark Cuban's talked about a 4-point line. And how did we get on this on Jaguars
sure.
today? I don't know. But
well, changing the game. And yeah. I think to a degree, like Peyton, love him, hate him, whatever, it's hard to say that he did not help along with Brady, along with a couple of guys, define the last 15 to 20 years of the NFL.
Why does he get treated with the kid gloves that Tom Brady does not? And like Jeff Prosser brought, you got the HGH thing going on, right? I mean, which
yeah,
if
I don't
this,
know if he's getting treated
Brady,
with kid gloves right now, though.
But if this were Brady, this would be, I mean, the Deflategate thing, Brady,
oh, okay.
Brady,
right.
Brady, you're a cheater, 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 cheater. And that was, to me, a little tweaking of the air pressure in the ball is not as bad as injecting yourself with human growth hormone.
Well, I think the reason for it, and as you said, it's not right. I think the reason for it is the Patriots are perceived right now sort of like the Yankees in baseball when the Lakers are good. When you win, people want to bring you down. So I think there is an element of it's easy to hate the Patriots because of Belichick, because they win, because they're there every year. And when it's easy to hate a team, it's easy to try to bring it down. So I think there is an element of that. Now, how the NFL treats it, I don't know, but how fans perceive it, I think that's part of it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. As Tony and I said, that they've been proven to cheat. I mean, the Spygate,
right.
the NFL deemed that the team.
Right. And I think that certainly changed the conversation when it came to New England. When you've been, I don't know if convicted is the right word, but when you've been penalized for cheating, which is what they were in 2007, then it's hard to shake that perception that's what it is.
Has every team that's won that, I mean, very few teams have won that many Super Bowls in that period of time, but the teams that have won like three in a period of time, I mean, the Steelers.
There we go.
The Steelers are pretty much accepted that there was rampant steroid use going on with the Steel Curtain teams. I mean, back in the
yeah.
in the 70s, okay? The San Francisco 49ers skirted the salary cap, right? And so did the Denver Broncos in the 1990s. And got penalized mm-hmm. for those things. You know, it's a different form. The New England Patriots had Spygate and Deflategate and everything. Were the Dallas Cowboys of the White House in the 90s
oh my goodness.
The cleanest team on the field?
Well, the Packers in the 60s. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
But,
you know what I mean? I mean, it just seems like there are a lot of these if you care.
Yeah,
to
what I wonder about,
dig deep.
Would you see if another team had been as dominant as the Steelers, was that going on with every team at the time?
May have been.
And I have no idea.
Much like Spygate may have been going on, that kind of thing may have been going on with a number of franchises as well.
Yeah, and again, everybody has heard the stories about New England, and it isn't really time to rehash that. But, you know, that is part of their conversation that surely has pushed the Manning-Brady dialogue in that direction to a degree, too.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's go through a list of some of the top potential free agent targets. You tell us what you think the Jaguars' level of interest will be, what your level of interest, who you think the Jags' top target should be as well. And folks can weigh in. If you want to talk with John Oger, he's here with us for another 20 minutes or so. 641-1010 is the phone number. You can also text us at that same number and tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Two questions today. One, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight asks you, Which four quarterbacks make up your own personal quarterback Mount Rushmore for the National Football League? And number two, in honor of National Cereal Day, what are your top five breakfast cereals of all time? That one, much more important question. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, John Osier here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday here on 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
Peyton with a hand signal. Facing the four-man rush, looks right, throws right to Finney Fowler. Fowler with the diving catch, and the two-point conversion is good. 24-10 Denver with 3:08 left.
How's it? Peyton Manning's final pass in the National Football League, a two-point conversion attempt. Is that, that's not actually a pass attempt. Doesn't go down your passing stats, right?
No, not officially.
It's a weird, yes. He threw the ball forward. We call that a pass.
And it was his only, quote, touchdown of the game, obviously.
So. Benny Fowler will be on the 2016 edition of Trivial Pursuit, the sports edition. Also, Logan Mankin's calling it a career
though, most
today.
Most of those questions that people say would be trivia questions, they're never really trivia questions.
They might be. Sure, they could be. They're not right now because it just happened. But 5 years from now, I'll try to remember to ask you who caught Peyton Manning's final pass attempt.
Two-point conversion. Right.
Yes.
Benny
Fowler.
And I probably still couldn't get it.
You may not.
I probably couldn't get it now.
It'll be interesting.
And you just told me.
Benny Fowler. Logan Mankin's retired today. Way to bury your story, right? Logan Mankin's going to retire today. That's very
They'll
nice.
They'll cut to his press conference after Manning.
we're going to stay with Peyton
ESPN's
until Logan
Mankin right
gets to the podium, right? How are we going to cover both of these?
They have a switch already.
Hell of a player, 7-time Pro Bowler, 11-year career, multiple Super Bowl. I think did he have multiple or just have one? Maybe he only had one with the Patriots. Probably only did have the one with the Patriots.
I think so.
I don't think he reached back to the prior era of when they were winning them all in the early 2000s.
No, he was like a 9-year or a 10-year veteran, right?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so he would have missed out on the first run. He would have probably been on the team that went in 2007.
At Manning, Mankin's rivalry was intense.
It was a great one, wasn't it? It seemed like they play every year.
Every year, right?
It just did seem like they play every year. All right, John, we've got you here in studio, let's get into a little Jaguar free agency and some of the top targets. We were speaking off the air a little earlier today, and you think they will go hard again to get Malik Jackson?
Well, I think they're going to go. Yeah, I think they're going to go hard to get a few more players. I don't think it's going to be a one or two shot deal on the first day, if you get my drift. I don't think it's going to be Vernon and Mack, and then let's wait and see what happens.
Okay.
I think you're going to go after waves. I would be surprised if they don't go after Bruce Irvin from everything that you're hearing.
Seems right, and it seems like a logical fit on top of if you weren't hearing anything.
Well, there's definitely a spot. I got a question last week. Does it concern you that he hasn't put up huge pass rushing numbers? You know, I don't think I'm that concerned about any of these guys' individual pass rushing numbers. I think what this team wants and needs, they need an influx of guys who can increase the overall pressure,
mm-hmm,
wherever it comes from. So if that means getting Vernon on one side and Irvin on the other, and at the end of the season, if Irvin has 6 sacks next year, which he had 5 in Seattle, but overall he has helped this whole thing get better, that's what they have to do in free agency. You're probably not going to get a 15-sack guy in free agency because that's not what's going to be out there.
Well, they usually don't show up in free agency. Mario Williams became almost a 15-sack guy as a free agent signee in Buffalo. In fact, just 2 years ago, had 14.5 sacks, was extremely productive.
Absolutely.
His first 3 years was a Pro Bowler just the season before last. Then Rex Ryan came. We heard early in the season grumblings from Mario Williams about how they used him. Now everyone this weekend was talking about on Twitter and whatnot about how bad the tape was for Mario Williams. Well, the story is that he basically quit, and he mailed it in on the team, quit on the team, so to speak, that he wasn't happy with his role, so he wasn't going to give full effort. He was making a bunch of money. What were they going to do? Cut him? He's still going to get his money.
Right.
So do you think, you know, Mike Garofalo or Garofalo, I say it both ways, wrote,
you just did.
I did, exactly. I wrote over the weekend, though, that in addition to the Dolphins, who he's already met with, and the Giants, who he is scheduled to meet with, that the Jaguars are on the list of teams that would like to meet with him, at least. What do we know, or what do you
believe about that? I don't see that one as the way they're going to go.
Is that because he's not a Dave Caldwell-type guy? Dave Caldwell has, for the most part, When it comes, particularly when he spends big money on a guy, he doesn't stray too far from the straight and narrow in terms of potential locker room issues, guys, you know, things like that. You don't know. Mario Williams, you're over 30 years old. Are you going to get a big signing bonus and come here and mail it in as well? Is this your retirement fund?
A little bit of that. I also, it feels like they've got their targets, and I don't think Mario Williams is one of them. Also, remember, Dave at the Combine spent a lot of time talking about you have to be wary of guys who are out there for a reason. And what he meant by that was, if you remember last year, Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick, they were in free agency because their teams absolutely could not afford to get them back. Mario Williams, the Bills could have brought him back. They chose not to. So it feels like that's not quite the fit that they would be looking for. Now, is it one where they would put their toe in the water? Maybe. I didn't.
Is he too conservative in that regard, though? In your opinion, is Dave Caldwell, because we do see teams take chances on these guys, and I understand sometimes when you're a young team, you don't want to mess with the chemistry of the locker room, whatever, but this team hasn't won many games.
I think if Mario Williams was the only edge rusher out there, I mean, he'd be going hard after him.
So you think
I think they're going to go after hard. I just think at this point, it's obvious they're going to try to go after Vernon.
I agree with that. So, but do you think he's the only edge pass rusher that they will try to sign? Even if they sign him to an offer sheet, forget Williams. It could be William Hayes or somebody else. Do you think they will try to sign more than just Olivier Vernon?
My guess is there will be more than just Vernon. But I honestly do not know the guy after that. I just don't think it's Mario Williams.
Okay. But so it just because of Mario Williams, not because one is enough.
No, I don't think they think one is enough.
And you do think it'll be a full court press for Olivier Vernon, right? What about we're talking with Jeff Prosser.
Again, I'm not
ago.
Going on inside information.
I understand. We all feel this way, right, but
well, because of a couple of things, I heard you guys mention the report 12.7 as the cap for Miami's effort to go get him,
which is what the transition tag costs,
right? And I think realistically, if you back up, everybody's got all the cap numbers around the league. So the Jaguars can sit there and see what Miami's got, all that. There's a school of thought that Miami won't go past a certain point. And there is a school of thought that the Jaguars easily have enough cap room to get past that point. So I'd be surprised if it's not aggressive and it's not an obscene amount of money and if they're not in on it.
It's already an obscene amount of money for a guy who in the last 2 years combined has had 14 sacks.
Yeah.
It's going to be an obscene amount of money.
And again, that's if they make the splash that everybody seems to think they're going to make, then it is absolutely a high-risk splash that I think if you put a lie detector on the inside people of the Jaguars, they would say, look, this is going to be a high-impact splash that there's no way to get our, quote, money's worth out of what we're doing. It's just not possible because you're paying guys Hall of Fame, all-pro type money, and they're not that level guys. But they can make you overall better, and they can give you a better core on defense. So you're not going to get your money's worth out of this.
No,
there's going to be criticism of these guys next year. They're not going to, quote, live up to their contract, but they have to get better. Much the way Julius Thomas made the offense better, although he didn't, quote, live up to the contract in his first year.
Money's worth for the Jags is they go from 31st to 12th on defense.
Absolutely.
That's the money's worth. If they spend that kind of money and they do make that kind of improvement and put themselves in a position where they're not being held back by what's going on that side of the ball, it's worth whatever they got to spend, it feels like, to them to get to that point in one offseason because the offense is there. It's ready to take them there. The defense is an anchor right now, and it can't be going into 2016.
I would look back on their top four guys from last year who I would argue were Parnell, Odrick, Thomas, and maybe House, right?
I would say those are the four.
Well, I think all four of those guys played pretty good for acquired free agents. But were they Pro Bowl guys? No. I think they made the roster better. I think they're guys who you feel like have a good chance to still be starting for this team in 2 years. But they're not, oh my goodness, wow. But they made you better. Have one more wave of that, then your foundation is that much better.
Who was the best signing last year? Just based on last year.
I would still say Julius because I think he made an impact. If you're saying based on last year, I think Julius is going to be a lot better this year.
I do, too.
I still have a lot of faith that he's really going to be a core guy.
But for the first year, because I agree with that, and I think projecting forward, I think had he not gotten hurt, we would have seen a much more productive Julius Thomas.
Maybe Parnell, because he played pretty darn well, especially as time went on. You never really sat there and talked a whole lot about what he wasn't doing, which is what you want out of a tackle. So, he's in that conversation. I thought Odrick played pretty well for what you wanted him to do. And then House, is he elite Pro Bowl? No, but I think you feel good about him over on that side, especially if you get a pass rush.
He's worthy of being an NFL starting cornerback, I think.
Which all four of those guys, I think, fill what you're talking about. And that's what this team needs out of free agency more than anything. They've got to get just that core growth. They have to feel like their roster is more and more competitive all the time.
So you think they would like to sign Malik Jackson and Olivier Vernon if possible, then?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Okay. It would surprise me a little bit. Tony, what do you think now about Malik Jackson? Where are you on that?
As far as the Jags' interest in him, I still think it's pretty high. My question is how many other teams, the teams that aren't going to be heavy after Vernon, how many of them are going to be heavy after Jackson? And again, we talk about how much money there is for everybody to spend. I get the Jags got more than anybody else, but you're still talking about the price points on these guys. You don't know how high they're going to get. And I do think with Caldwell, what we've seen from him is there is a number, right? There is a number with all these guys that he's like, I'm not going above that kind of number. I think the number is higher in his head with Vernon than it is with Malik Jackson because of their need to get a guy in that can impact them from a pass rush perspective. But I do think if it does wind up being, Malik Jackson's going to be somewhere in that $13 million range, I certainly think the Jags will be very interested in him at that kind of number.
I'm really interested to see what they do at corner, too. I think that's one that people aren't really thinking a whole lot about. And it wouldn't surprise you to see one of these elite-level corners be the guy where all of a sudden people are talking about the Jags in on it that they weren't really talking about last week.
Well, Sean Smith, Kansas City, fits the physical profile of what you talk about when the Jags look for those bigger, taller, press corners. He's not a huge playmaker. He's not a guy that's going to fill the stat line with a bunch of interceptions, but he's a solid cover man down in, down out. That's the book on him anyway. You got Janoris Jenkins sitting out there, certainly. You've got other guys in the secondary. Safety, there's a bunch of them. We focus on Eric Weddle. Reggie Nelson does make some sense, at least, more on a short-term kind of deal. Tayshaun Gibson's age is right, but he scares me a little bit because he had the one big year, and then this past year he graded out very poorly in coverage. And again,
every free agent ought to scare you because there's a reason
To some degree, like Eric Weddle doesn't scare me. Eric Weddle, I get it. Teams get to a point, they're like, we don't want to invest for the next 5 years in this guy who's 31 years old or going to be whatever. I think Eric Weddle is a guy, as he said, hadn't had many major injuries, anything like that. He's like, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't go out. I am 100% football. My body feels good. Hey, you kidding me? I think teams would love to get that guy on board. Do you think free safety will be a low, middle, high priority for the Jags?
I think it's high, but
high in need.
High need. I think it'll be high priority, but it may be one where they have high priority and then need to get second tier in free agency enough to get you by until you can fill it with Jalen Ramsey or find the right thing. Because, again, it's just hard to find. I think they're going to do the best they can.
What's the ideal pick right now for the Jags? Not knowing who they're going to sign yet. Still.
At free safety?
With the fifth pick. Is it Ramsey? Is it Miles Jack? Is it Bosa? Is it somebody else?
I still say Bosa because pass rusher. I also think it feels like that he's going to be there, or there's a better chance of him being there than you thought maybe 3 weeks ago.
I don't think Ramsey's there.
Yeah, and it just feels like Ramsey's not going to be.
And I'm getting a sinking feeling that Miles Jack won't be there either. I think that he could very well end up in Dallas. And Tony and I have taken a liking to the idea of Miles Jack being a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Well, I take a liking to anybody who can really increase speed and playmaking. Get him in here and figure out what to do with him.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yes?
Yes. I'm for that. No, I said, sure. Oh, sure. Right. Anyone who could increase speed and playmaking, that would be a good...
I mean, I think there's a school of thought with that. If this guy's the fastest, biggest playmaking guy out there, get him in here and figure out how to make it good.
All right, two questions today. Who, first of all, is included in your quarterback Mount Rushmore? All-time NFL quarterbacks, top four.
I'd say Brady, Manning, Unitas, and Montana.
Okay. Okay.
I'm probably leaving. I'm leaving Elway and Marino out.
I've got Elway ahead of Manning, but I mean, to me, and I haven't really figured out if Manning's the fifth one, but to me, I've always thought Elway's the best quarterback that's ever played in the National Football League.
Yeah, I mean, I'd have a tough time making four because I'd have a tough time keeping Elway off of.
And Unitas, you know, Unitas really goes back prior to my viewing in the National Football League, but you look at his numbers compared to his contemporaries.
Right.
People say, well, his numbers are, Peyton Manning blew those numbers away. So did Drew Brees. Yeah, but it's the era.
When you look at him and read about him, you know how you always say that Oscar Robertson, if he'd been born now, could probably play, I mean, not right now, but 25 years ago,
sure,
would probably be an elite guy. Athletic enough to have figured out how to play in this thing going on. I get the same idea about Unitas.
Yeah.
If he had played now, he would have figured out a way to, he would have evolved his game and been the same kind of player, Manning, Brees, those guys. Maybe not athletically back then because, you know, he sort of approached year-round stuff differently, but he would have figured out a way.
Had he grown up in today's
to
game.
To be these guys.
Yeah.
And I think he played very similar. So I think he's got to be in the conversation just because he changed it.
All right, the most important question, your top five breakfast cereals of all time.
I don't know.
Five
I don't know
that come to mind
five.
Right now. All right, whatever comes to mind.
I was a big Count Chocula guy.
Were you Count? Oh, my yeah. wife I mean, is too, man. Yeah, my wife loves Count Chocula.
Cocoa Puffs because my son has them in the house this weekend. I liked all those Boo Berry, Frankenberry.
You're just a Monster cereal guy.
I like the Monster cereal.
Can you name all five Monster cereals?
I can go Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry, and probably end it there.
Fruit Brute.
I couldn't, and
Yummy Mummy.
I wouldn't have gotten those.
Yes, they were limited runs on those. Those are my two. I'm a big cereal nostalgia guy for some reason. I don't know
I'm always after me some Lucky Charms.
You ever have Freakies when you were a kid? You're about the right age range to have Freakies.
I pretty much stuck with those, and that's pretty much what
Freakies I Freakies always had all kinds of good stuff in the box, man. You always got a good Freaky eraser for your pencil or something. There's
I was big on Count Chocula, and then when my parents were out of the house, I'd get it out and just eat the marshmallows.
I'm not a marshmallow cereal guy. Like, if it's got marshmallows in, it's not going to make my top five. That's just me.
I was a big Count. For a while, that was probably my favorite.
All right, Johnny O.
All right, guys.
What do you have coming up in the next couple of days before free agency officially kicks off?
It's a lot of calm before the storm. I mean, it's a lot of waiting. I'll be doing a lot of lists. I might even do a mock draft to throw a curveball on Wednesday morning.
What's a mock draft?
Well, it just really is a lot of waiting right now, a lot of following Twitter. And, again, it feels like the calm before the storm.
Let's hope it's a big storm of success with the Jags raining cash.
And that's a segue into
those
next
free agents.
That's a segue into your next guest.
We got this state in football coming.
All right,
next,
I like that. All right, guys,
could have thought that out, John. There he goes. Thank you, buddy, John Osier, the senior writer for Jaguars.com. This state in football, the Honda drive around the NFL coming up next. It's a Wild West Guns and Gold Monday on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, time for this date in football history, Tony. And as is the case at this time of year, quite frequently, this date in football history is littered with nothing but birthdays. And we will start with the 66-year-old former Pittsburgh Steeler running back Franco Harris, 9-time Pro Bowler and a 1-time first-team All-Pro and a Hall of Fame inductee in 1990. He, of course, has 4 rings. He also caught the most famous pass in National Football League history. Is the Immaculate Reception the most famous pass catch, or the most famous catch, I should say, in NFL history? It's up there.
Maybe it might be.
The Dez catch could be up there. Did Dez catch it or not? That's pretty popular.
It's not anywhere close to the Immaculate Reception. The Immaculate Reception's had 40 years to build up a legacy. You're going to tell me that Dez Bryant non-catch is the most famous catch in the history of the NFL. He may have caught it. He may not have caught it. But I don't know. The catch by Dwight Clark would be up there. Lynn Swann's acrobatic juggling catch in the Super Bowl, which brings us to the next birthday on the list. Lynn Swann's birthday as well. Lynn Swann and Franco on the same day, two years apart. Lynn Swann, how many Pro Bowls for Lynn Swann?
One.
Three. How many 1,000-yard seasons for Lynn Swann?
I think just one, right?
Zero.
Really?
Zero for Lynn Swann. How many times was he a finalist for the Hall of Fame without getting in?
9.
13. 13. So I guess the 14th year his resume got better, huh? One of the least deserving players that's in the Hall of Fame. Yes, he won 4 Super Bowls. So did a lot of people who played for Pittsburgh in the 1970s. Steve Berline, Jags' first quarterback, born on this date in 1965. Berline's record as a Jaguars starting quarterback, Tony?
I have no idea.
1-6.
It was 1-something.
1-6, TD to interception ratio in 1995 of 4 touchdowns to 7 interceptions.
Nice.
Nice, highly productive Steve Berline. Still bitter that he's not still the quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And also born on this date in 1965, same as Steve Berline. Happy 51st to Willie Flipper Anderson. The reason we bring him up, he still holds the NFL single game record for most receiving yards with 336 back in 1989 in the game for the Rams against the New Orleans Saints. 15 grabs, 336, and a touchdown for Flipper Anderson, who had less than 10 career 100-yard games in his lifetime and had a 336-yard effort among those. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Ooh, it's a newsy day around the NFL with free agency tampering window about to get opened up. St. Louis Rams running back Trey Mason was tasered and arrested by Hollywood, Florida police on suspicion of marijuana possession, reckless driving, failure to register a motor vehicle, and resisting arrest. Mason was caught by police going at least 70 miles per hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Did not stop for police until he was stopped by a car in traffic in front of him. The officer on scene smelled marijuana when he approached the vehicle. Mason refused to give his name or driver's license. The officer then said he warned Mason that if he didn't identify himself, he would be subject to arrest, and said that Mason smirked as he was making eye contact with the officer. Mason then refused to exit the vehicle after being told that he was under arrest, then resisted from inside the vehicle when officers tried to pull him out. That's when the officer tasered Mason, got him out of the car, and transported him to a local hospital to be medically cleared. Former NFL running back Joseph Randall arrested for the 6th time in 17 months on Sunday, this time for failure to appear in court. He's being held on a $150,000 bond. The court would not comment about whether this arrest was related to Randall's February arrest, in which he was charged with 4 counts of aggravated battery and 1 count each of criminal threat, criminal damage to property, and possession of marijuana following an incident where his car was he hit 3 people and then broke into a home. So we don't know if this is related to that one or one of the other 4 previous arrests that he didn't show up for court for. The legal tampering window in NFL free agency opens at noon today, so we're less than an hour from that, meaning teams can start to officially speak to pending free agents at noon Eastern today. But according to the rules that no one really follows, technically aren't allowed to discuss the terms of a deal until free agency officially opens on Wednesday.
I thought they changed that. Did they not change that?
No, they didn't change that. You're not supposed to be talking terms, technically.
I sworn I read last week that has been altered.
I haven't seen that. But many eyes in Jacksonville remain focused on Miami and transition tag defensive end Olivier Vernon. The Dolphins did some work to try and create some cap space this weekend, renegotiating the contracts of Ndamukong Suh, Koemisi, and cutting veteran wide receiver Greg Jennings after just 1 year. Those 3 moves free up nearly $24 million in cap space for the Fins. Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald posted in his notes column on Saturday that he wouldn't be surprised if the Dolphins let Vernon go if he got an offer from another team over the $12.7 million they would have to pay him under the transition tag, and that the team is interested in trying to find 2 passers just for around that same kind of money if they can. They had Mario Williams in for a visit this weekend. Logan Mankin's calling it a career. He's going to retire. The New York Giants apparently are willing to cut Victor Cruz if he will not take a pay cut. The Houston Texans have re-signed both their kicker and punter, so if you wanted Nick Novak or Shane Lechler as your punter
Shane Lechler
here in Jacksonville, he apparently has re-signed there.
All right. The league has changed
okay.
The details on that. You may now negotiate any aspect of a contract because...
They were anyway.
Right. You could exchange parameters but not specifics last year. What in the world? Like, hey, we'd like to pay you between... $12,999,999.99 and $13,000,001. Something in between there. I'm not saying it's going to be $13 million, but I mean it was ridiculous. You know the tampering's been going on. Contracts have been negotiated for years, even prior to the, quote, legal tampering window. So now the pretense of not working out the numbers is gone.
Yeah, it's stupid. Also, RG3 will be released by Washington today.
I think he did get released, as a matter of fact, just moments ago, if I'm not mistaken. Wow, worst trade since the Herschel Walker deal, right? So, I mean, is there a worse?
Probably. I mean, they made the playoffs in the only year he played.
They did, but, I mean, they only got 1 year out of him. And I get it, injury. Maybe that's the reason, but there were questions, was that going to be sustainable? You know, much like you had Colin Kaepernick helped get the team to the Super Bowl. I'm not saying he carried them there, but he helped get them to the Super Bowl and came within, you know, one more completion of winning the game and then quickly fell off the deep end.
Yeah, when we're already seeing on Twitter people linking RG3 to Houston, but I want to ask you guys, what is a more likely scenario, RG3 to Houston or possibly Brock Osweiler to Houston?
I think they'd prefer to have Brock Osweiler in Houston. I think Brock Osweiler, I think the Denver Broncos will get something worked out with Brock Osweiler. I think they will say, hey, Brock, look, if you get a better deal, bring it to us. If you really want to stay here, why wouldn't you want to stay there, right? You got a great defense. You got a decent enough running game to help you out. You have very good wide receivers. You know the offense. I think Brock Osweiler will get paid, even if it's a little less, unless somebody comes in, Tony, and gives him $20 million a year, right? I can't see the Denver Broncos letting Brock Osweiler get away. I don't, you know, RG3 to Houston, sign him, please, Texans. I mean, I remember, what was it, 2 years ago when they started out, the Jags started the season against Washington, right? And Kirk Cousins ended up coming off the bench and just picking him apart. Was that the first game of the year or the second game of the year? That was the second game, right? It was after they played Philly.
It was
2 seasons ago, right? I think they played Philly in the opener, and they had Washington. And I remember all the talk in the building was they were gutted when RG3 went out of the game. They were so disappointed when he left the game because they really felt like they had a great game plan, that his skill set had diminished to the point that they did not fear Robert Griffin III.
Yeah, and Kirk Cousins comes in, throws 22 of 33 for 250 yards and two scores.
You know, and I get it. People at the time were saying, hey, we should go get Kirk Cousins. We should have got Kirk. That had been a thing prior to Blake Bortles getting here. And even after Blake Bortles initially was drafted here, there were still people saying we should have brought in Kirk Cousins. Well, we'll find out. He had a great year this year. There's no question. He had a great year. Quickly signed that franchise tender, as was smart of him to do, for over $19 million guaranteed for this upcoming year. You know, people talk about security. Oh, you don't have all the years. You know how many years the franchise tag precludes you from having security. $19 million is security. Money is security. It's not the amount of years you play. It's how much money do you make during that time period. Kirk Cousins strikes me as the kind of guy, just having interviewed him before, knowing a little bit of his story, that you're not going to hear about Kirk Cousins ending up, you know, broke and homeless 10 years after playing in the National Football League. So Kirk Cousins realized it took him about 2 seconds to go in and sign that franchise tender, that he is set for life if he plays it smart. And look, that's not the only money he's going to make. Chances are, even if he doesn't play great this year and get a contract at the top end of the market, Kirk Cousins will be making $5 to $10 million at least for the next several years beyond that, because he's shown enough that somebody else is going to bring him in and say, it's worth having him here to see if we can reclaim some of that past glory.
You like that?
Yeah, but
I do like that.
And I think when you look at worst trades of all time in NFL history, it's not all about what the team got out of Robert Griffin III. It's about whatever St. Louis got out of the trade.
Right, what you gave up to get
and
him.
St. Louis, they traded the 6th overall pick that year. I think Dallas came up and got Morris Claiborne, right? Because they moved again out of that number 6 spot that year. Looking back on it, they got Alec Ogletree, Stedman Bailey in that draft, in the 2013 draft.
Ogletree's a very good player.
Right. Janoris Jenkins, who they may be letting walk now in free agency.
Right.
And Greg Robinson. So they didn't get a ton out of it. Robinson's been really not good as the number 2 overall pick in 2014. Ogletree's a good player. Stedman Bailey, we haven't seen much of him in that uniform. And they may be letting Janoris Jenkins walk out of that trade after one contract, too.
I'm not saying they made the best use of the resources, but when you have three high first-round picks.
Sure. It was a bad trade in the end because, I mean, they got 1 year out of RG3, but they've also been in the playoffs twice since they drafted RG3. And however they got to Kirk Cousins, maybe he is the guy that can be the quarterback of the future for Washington. And they went to the playoffs the first year. I think when you look at the trade, just what those two teams have done, Washington won. Washington's been better than St. Louis since they made that trade.
Yeah, but why? But I don't think they won the deal because they have nothing to show for it now. I think they gave up too much that could have helped set their team up. Now, you know, you can argue is one playoff appearance worth it compared to all the rest of the stuff. Keep in mind, though, Janoris Jenkins, had he not fired his agent, may well have worked out a multi-year contract with the St. Louis Rams. They wanted to keep him. And had Trumaine Johnson also been a free agent, they could have very likely franchise-tagged Janoris Jenkins.
Sure.
So, you know, I don't think you look at that. He may be walking, but I don't think it's because he hasn't been a good player. Michael Brockers is a good player that came out of that deal. Ogletree's a good player. Jury's out on Greg Robinson, you know, and some of these other guys. Zach Stacy, Isaiah Pede look like they were flashing the pans at best. Zach Stacy's already gone, so both of those guys are gone. So,
yep.
You know, they had the potential to get a great haul, but you're right. I mean, how much do we factor in what the Rams did? It was a bad trade regardless. For what they got out of RG3, wasn't worth three firsts and a second, no question about it. As Tyler mentioned a minute ago, don't forget, last day of loyalty pricing if you're a Jaguars season ticket holder. In other words, if you were a season ticket holder last year and you want to lock in the 2015 prices, today is the deadline to get it done. How do I know that? Because I waited until this morning to renew my season tickets, because that's how I roll, baby, despite countless calls from the Jaguars ticketing office. Hey, would you like to take care of that right now? No, I would not. Okay, I would like to wait until the last possible second because that is my nature to do that. So it took literally under 5 minutes online, and if you're a little bit more savvy than I am, it might have taken you 3 minutes to get the whole process done. It's pretty easy. You just go in and knock it right out. You can do it on the website or
MyJaguarsAccount.com.
MyJaguarsAccount.com. Simple way to do it. Or call over at the stadium. What are that? 633-2000, I believe, would get you connected over there. So either way, if you want to make sure you don't get a price bump for 2016, and they say that renewals have been coming in at a steady pace and new season tickets, but particularly renewals because of the deadline. Look, a little pressure to do it early, but if you do it early, there's no price bump. There's nothing wrong with that. I was a big fan of that method, and I'm glad I didn't wait until tomorrow. And just say I stretch it just as far as I could. All right, if you'd like to get on board, 641-1010. We'll go to the text line next. Got a bunch of those coming in this morning. A couple of questions hanging out there for you with the retirement of Peyton Manning, who would make up your top four quarterbacks, your Mount Rushmore of NFL quarterbacks all time, but most importantly, on National Cereal Day. What are your top five favorite breakfast cereals of all time? You can post those on the Jaguars Today Facebook page or tweet us at MD_1010XL. At 1010XL, Fat Tony at 1010XL. Tyler, Monday's brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold, North Florida's largest dealer of firearms and accessories, revolvers to sporting arms and everything in between. Wild West Guns and Gold meets and beats any gun shop's price in the USA, guaranteed. Guns4Jax.com is the website. Guns, the number 4, JAX.com, or visit them at South Lane Avenue. Call 693-0777 for Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Being a kid can be harder than it looks. Sometimes it helps to have an adult around.
All right.
That's why Peyton Manning takes time out to volunteer with local youth groups.
You guys ready to play some football?
Yeah!
Put our hands in. We're going to have fun. We're going to encourage each other. Teamwork on three. One, two, three. Teamwork!
Peyton uses football to teach valuable lessons of communication.
Check. Watch the sale. Pink, watch the blitz. Brown, 55, Razor. Tut! Open. Suck. All right, let's go. Get back in here. Let's go. Except you. I can't even look at you. You know what? Go sit in the portal lab for 20 minutes. That's right. Just stay in there.
There's no substitute for the hands-on guidance a mentor can provide.
Then you just push it a little further, and you should hear a click.
Why don't we just use your keys?
I told you. I forgot them. Cops. Every man for himself.
Spend time with your kids so Peyton Manning doesn't.
Ha! They probably say that about me, too, Tony. Although I'm not accomplished like he is. Spend time with your kids so Dempsey doesn't have to coach them in soccer. Although, Wildcats, baby, 1-0 in the spring. Got out to a nice 3-0 lead.
Moldy Bread.
Then we hung on. The alternate nickname for the team is the Moldy Bread. But we ended up winning 3-2. Had a penalty kick. We had so many shots. Had a penalty kick called with like 5 seconds left in the game. Handball on the other team, clearly in the box. And we missed it, of all things. My best shooter missed, or had it stuffed by the goalie. But we win 3-2. Yes. It's all about my coaching record. All right? It's not about kids developing a good character.
This is year five, right?
Habits. This is like, I don't know what this is. At least, I would say year six, probably. Something like that. I think I started coaching. I think Colin started playing when he was like five. He played 1 year where he stood around and watched a ball roll right up to his feet and then wondered, what is this? What are you asking me to do with this thing?
Yeah.
And then I think I took over, so 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, maybe 6 years. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, I heard Peyton Manning there on SNL off the top. I can't remember another athlete's appearance on that show that even came close.
Oh, he was so good. He really was. I remember the Michael Jordan. Everyone talks about Michael Jordan when he went on with Stuart Smalley.
Uh-huh.
He's laughing through the whole thing. You know what, yeah. I mean? Like, he couldn't. I didn't think Michael Jordan was very good at all on there. Although the one about when Joe Montana was the host, and the shtick was, why is Joe Montana? You know, Joe Montana's a boring guy, right? He looks like a boring guy, but inside his head, maybe he's like a more thoughtful guy.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, it was like what he said. Then they'd play the little word bubble kind of thing. Here's what he was thinking. He would be thinking the exact same thing. And then it was semi-funny until they closed. Do you know the skit I'm talking about?
I do.
And then he decided he was going to head upstairs for the night. And you can go watch that one for yourself on YouTube.
But Manning had like three really good
sketches. Oh, he was fantastic.
On that episode, because he did that one with the kids, which was great. You suck. And telling a kid to go sit in a portalette. He did the one where it was like March Madness at the time, and they did the sketch where it was the girl was in the finals for the competition on March Madness, but she only picked based on like the mascots and the uniforms.
Yes.
And the joke was that even she knew what pulling a Peyton Manning was. It means to play really, really well in the regular season and then lose when it came to playoff time. And Manning's just sitting there, not as Manning, but it is Peyton. Like, I don't think that's really fair. You know, Peyton Manning is pretty good at doing that whole thing, defending himself. And then the locker room sketch with the basketball team that didn't want to go back out for the second half.
So good.
Maybe my favorite thing he did on the show that night.
I just Googled the best athletes to ever host Saturday Night Live. And, you know, look, it's usually personal opinion that kind of run these things. And Peyton is number one, probably on any list you're going to find. Number two, Tom Brady. Do you even remember Tom Brady hosting?
I remember is the thing at the fair.
The fair, and that's the skit that they're showing at the
carnival. I like boobs. Like, that's the only thing I remember from him on SNL.
I don't even remember that, man. I'm sure I've seen it, all right, this is the Rolling Stone list. We'll go to Rolling Stone as the authority. The top 10 all-time hosts in descending order or ascending order. George Foreman in 1994, don't remember a whole lot from it.
Nope.
Wayne Gretzky in 1989, don't remember a whole lot from it. Tom Brady in 2005. Barkley in 93. I remember him on the show. I want to say he hosted a couple of times, if I'm not mistaken. LeBron James in 2007.
I don't remember anything he did on the show.
I don't either. And I think he might be funny because he was really good in Trainwreck. You know, he was.
I just don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. Derek Jeter in 2001. I do remember he did a couple of things where he was able to kind of laugh at himself a little bit. The Rock, I guess, does that count?
The Rock shouldn't even count.
That shouldn't really count,
that dude
right?
is the man. I love The Rock.
Here, Joe Montana, 1987, and the clip they use is the Honest Man skit, which is the one we were talking about. Here's the thing. Michael Jordan, 91, and they show the skit of him doing, you know, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me. But he couldn't keep a straight face.
No.
It's like Jimmy Fallon. Go find a Jimmy Fallon skit where he was in it with Horatio Sanz, where either one of those guys didn't crack up laughing throughout the whole thing.
And it's Fallon is fantastic on the late. I mean, he's great now doing what
he's
doing.
Crazy talented,
but
Jimmy Fallon.
I mean, it was just every sketch he was in, he couldn't keep a straight face.
All right,
just couldn't do it.
Let's get a couple in on the text line where we just got one that said, let's talk free agency. I'm pumped right now.
Woo!
Pumped. Woo! Everybody's pumped right now. We will be, tampering, why even call it that? But the ability to pre-negotiate deals with players.
Well, they just open free agency at noon.
Whatever. You know, I mean, honestly, I guess they want to, you know, give everybody a chance to, all right, we're going to blow you away with this offer, but hey, you know, only you can only talk to one team. Let's say everybody adhered to the rules and nobody made any calls, nobody contacted agents, nobody talked to agents at the combine about contracts prior to the opening of free agency. Well, let's say it's 12:01, and I get it. If you want to come strong with your offer, but what if you're a team like the Jags and you have 100 and whatever, or your, you know, the salary cap space you have is pushing 90 million in some circles, depending on who you ask. It's called 80 million, and their adjusted cap figure for this year is the highest in the league with the rollover money that they have from last season. And let's say your first call is to Olivier Vernon, and you give him a blow him away offer. Well, your GM's only on the phone with one guy at a time, and Malik Jackson, maybe you want to make him the same offer, and then he goes ahead and agrees to terms. I don't have a problem with that. I think the two-day window is fine, particularly because you can now drop the pretense about not being able to negotiate anything. And then so what? We're going to know some things ahead of signing day, so to speak, like they do in college. You know, there's so what? Is anyone not going to be interested in finding out come 4 o'clock on Wednesday what's going to happen?
Well, honestly, people complain about not like it not all happening at the same time anymore because of this tampering window. Look, it also used to be you couldn't go on the internet and find where everyone was visiting either.
True.
You had to wait till the next day to find out when someone was going to sign somewhere. And in today's day and age with the media and the immediacy of the media, you're finding out information that was probably always available to all these teams constantly. They all knew what was happening in these league circles. You're just inside on it now, too, a lot more than you were 15 years ago. I don't know how much free agency has really changed in the NFL. I think the information that we're given in the public has changed drastically in the past 15
years.
That
seems like that's probably an accurate statement. Others on the text line here, Tony, Green Bay probably letting Casey Hayward walk, and they don't want to. He's a talented cap casualty, which is what we want. What do you guys think? We talked about him last Friday. Absolutely. I mean, we think they're going to sign a cornerback. How high a level cornerback they sign is anyone's guess. We don't know how they evaluate. You know, Casey Hayward, I'm sure they have an evaluation on Casey Hayward. If he does, in fact, become free, they have an evaluation on Sean Smith and Janoris Jenkins and all these guys.
Right, it's the Jenkins and Smiths, the guys we're talking about because they are, put them on the outside and let them play corner guys. And Casey Hayward has been a guy since he came to Green Bay that's played a lot in the slot. He's playing basically where they want to have Aaron Colvin playing here in Jacksonville. It's kind of that third corner, but everyone plays three corners pretty much constantly in the NFL now, which is why I question what kind of fit Casey Hayward is in free agency, because I don't think they want to move Colvin to the outside. They want to keep him in the slot because of his athleticism and bring in somebody else that can play on the outside. I don't know if Hayward's the answer to that. And look, I love Casey Hayward. Vanderbilt grad, loved the guy, and had a just phenomenal rookie year up there in Green Bay, but the numbers haven't been as good the last couple of years. I think they got the corner they won out of Green Bay last year in Devon House. I'm not sure they're going back to that well.
Here's another text says, here's my ideal scenario. Throw $35 million a year at Vernon and Jackson combined, get Tayshaun Gibson at $1 million a year, then draft Miles Jack. A, that's your ideal scenario? $35 million? It's not going to cost $35 million to get Olivier Vernon and Malik Jackson, excuse me. Almost called him Tyson Jackson of Kansas City. Let's say at the most, Tony, $30 million. At the most, mm-hmm. I would think. They say Malik Jackson may get a contract in the $15 million a year range.
Let's say 17 and 13.
Whatever. All right. You know,
that sounds reasonable.
And even if this year's cap hit could be $35 million, I could see that if you want to take more hit in this season. But it's not going to average $35 million a year over the life of the contract for those two guys. That's way too much money. And now maybe it all works out that you get those two and a safety for around $36 million, because you're not going to get Tayshaun Gibson for only $1 million either.
No.
Right? I mean, he's a young 20-something safety. He'll make a couple million bucks at minimum, even though he had a bad year last year. I'm not as high on Tayshaun Gibson as some others. Maybe they've watched a film and they think there are reasons why he had a step back in performance last year. He led safeties in interceptions, I want to say, the year prior to that. And then as the Texter added at the end, then draft Miles Jack. Got no problem with that aspect of it.
Oh, no.
Somebody else asked on Twitter, what happens in the unlikely event that Jalen Ramsey, Joey Bosa, and Miles Jack are all gone? Well, if you're assuming Laremy Tunsil is gone as well, that's the worst-case scenario right now, I think, for the Jacksonville Jaguars. That really is. And I think, obviously, they want to take the best player available on the defensive side of the football, factoring in. You know, they want to fill as many needs as possible so they don't have to sit there and say, okay, well, we didn't get a corner. Vernon Hargraves is our third next player. Let's bump him to the top because we don't have another guy here. Maybe it's DeForest Buckner out of Oregon. Maybe it's I don't think it'd be Noah Spence at that range. You know, maybe it's somebody we're not even thinking of at this point in time. But I do think that is the worst case scenario right now, as much as we know. And there's a lot of educated guessing going on. It's not like Dave Caldwell is releasing his draft list to any of us. But if Jack Bosa and Ramsey are all gone, and man, I really hope that's not the case. All you need for that not to happen is one quarterback going in the first four picks.
Yeah, one quarterback or offensive player, basically. So if Tunsil goes one, you should be okay. You're going to be close to okay.
But I mean, is it crazy to think that Cleveland doesn't love any of these quarterbacks enough to think that they are true franchise-type guys? I don't know if that it is. What if Cleveland surprises us and they make a play for Brock Osweiler or something like that? You know what I mean? And they answer the quarterback position. They say, you know what, we'll draft one, but we're just not going to draft one with the second overall pick because we don't believe in any of these guys to that degree. Again, one quarterback, two quarterbacks going would be ideal. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to have some options, I think, for that selection. So we'll see how it goes. All right, we'll come back. Fan Feedback Spotlight today is a double dip today. We asked you for your all-time quarterback, Mount Rushmore, with Peyton Manning announcing his retirement today. We're going to go with your all-time Patriots offensive line, Mount Rushmore, with Logan Mankins retiring. Good thing Peyton Manning decided to give us a better idea to go with. And then your top five breakfast cereals. We have a separate thread for that on the Jaguars Today Facebook page in honor of National Cereal Day, which I'm a big fan of as well. I was reading, you know, the guys who started Kellogg's and Post, they all went to the same sanitarium back in the 1800s. It's a true story. I was looking at this morning. You know, one of those places that you go, like a spa, but the Post guy went there after convalesce after his second mental breakdown. And he came out of there, and they all, I don't know if it was what they were feeding them. They were feeding them some kind of grains and all these things. But the two biggest cereal producers, or two of the biggest cereal producers in the world, all came out of basically the same little clique that used to hang out in a place for their mental health in the 1800s. Kind of a weird little item right there. But nonetheless, that's coming up. It is a Monday brought to you by Wild West Guns and Gold. 2 days away from the opening of free agency. This is Jaguars Today right here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. It's a very funny commercial. Is he kind of mocking fans a little, just a smidge, right?
I think that's part of the funny of it.
I guess so, right?
Yeah. Is some of the insanity of fans and kind of having some, poking some fun at that aspect of it.
There's no question about it. You know, you think of the absurdity of like, hey, I'm doing my job and you're all standing there yelling, you know, whatever it is, and I'm yelling, cut that meat, cut that meat. Hey, he's a pretty funny dude. I'll say that. I don't know. He may be a big HGH cheater. I don't know. He may have done things improperly with the woman at the University of Tennessee. I don't know, but I know he's pretty funny. I know he could throw the football. It will be interesting to see, Tony, if he officially retires or if they release him and then retire. And speaking of the Denver Broncos, because if he just retires, that closes the door on him coming back midseason and saying, oh, you know what, such and such a team just lost their quarterback. You know, Tony Romo went down again. You don't think that Jerry Jones would call on Peyton Manning if he were out there? He'd certainly make the call.
Right.
Right? So Peyton says he's done. I think the writing's on the wall that Denver didn't want him back. I think he knew that. Apparently there was only lukewarm interest in any team signing him right now. So if I'm Peyton Manning and I do have designs on playing, I might say I'm retiring as well, because otherwise, it'd be a little embarrassing just to be like, you know what, I'm not going to sign right now because nobody wants me, but I'm going to wait and see if somebody wants me. You know, it almost have an air of desperation. Here you can sit and say, no, that's it. I'm definitive. I'm not going to play again. And then if the opportunity comes up, he may say, hey, you know what, never thought I'd consider this, but I'm going to do it. And who knows? Can you imagine if Andrew Luck went down this year? They're not bringing Matt Hasselbeck back, they said. And then, you know, with the 6 weeks to go in the season, hey, Peyton, you want to come back and play for the Colts one last time? That would be awkward, but I don't know. I wouldn't rule it 100% out. He may, when he gives his official announcement speech, and say that's it. Today we asked you our Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question today. Who is your Mount Rushmore quarterbacks? Who's yours, Tony? Who are your top four?
Ooh, Elway, and this is in no order. This is just my four. But Elway, Montana, Brady, Manning.
I got Unitas instead of Manning. But I'm not saying he look,
I just didn't see Unitas. I hear all the stories about Unitas. I just didn't see enough of him as a player, and that's my shortcoming.
And,
right?
And that's fine. That,
like,
I'm the same
I just
way.
Don't know. If I was putting Unitas on that list, it's strictly on what people tell me about.
And I am as well, and that's why I'm doing it. And, well, I didn't see Babe Ruth play, but I think he's the greatest baseball player of all time because I look at what he did compared to his contemporaries. And that's the thing that really sets Unitas apart because, in the end, where's Peyton Manning going to rank compared to Drew Brees in the all-time passing marks? Can be very similar, aren't they? I mean, Drew Brees now is the active leader in passing yards, and I think he's going to be right there statistically with Peyton Manning when it's all said and done. He's got a Super Bowl ring. Maybe he'll, you know, kind of backdoor his way into a second one like Peyton did. I don't think anybody thinks Peyton put the team on his back to win that second ring, but whatever the case, I don't know if there's as much separation between those guys. I just think clearly there was a higher level that Unitas seemed to play at during his career. So that's the way I went with that. On Facebook, we got a few. We got more serial answers on Facebook. Kevin went with Brady, Favre, Montana, Unitas. Tommy said Unitas, Brady, Montana. He'll save the last spot for Bortles to fill in about a decade. I like that thinking. Damon went with Brady, Montana, Favre, and Manning. You go with what you've seen, and I get that. And certainly Favre.
Look, Favre was my favorite player as a kid.
You can put him in the conversation.
Yeah, he was my favorite player as a kid. I don't put him on the Mount Rushmore.
I don't either.
He's probably my favorite to watch of the quarterbacks that I've watched in the past 20 years.
He was fun. I don't know if anybody was more fun than Mike Vick. For me, I just loved just the simple aspect of nobody being able to catch Mike Vick. The thing I loved watching about Mike Vick was when he broke the line of scrimmage and then he became a runner. That's when it was more fun to watch Michael Vick. So, yeah, behind the line of scrimmage, Favre was a pretty fun guy to watch. What do we get on Twitter?
Here's what we got from Eric: Unitas, Marino, Montana, Manning. From Travis: Brady, Montana, Manning, and Elway. Duval Doom has Unitas 1, Montana 2, Brady 3, Bradshaw 4. Hashtag rings matter. From Mary: Montana, Manning, Brady, and Elway. From Daniel: Montana, Brady, Manning, and Favre. From Jarrell: for me, Montana, Brady, Manning, and Favre. That same four. Loved watching him play, he said. And from Mike: Unitas, Montana, Manning, Favre.
This one on the text line, not having to do, although we got a few votes on that. Brady, Montana, Favre, and Manning. The kind of usual suspects we're talking about. This is off the subject. AJ Cann was mentioned today that on Madden Football, he was named to the all-rookie Madden team with just five other rookies. So that's kind of cool. A little tip of the hat, as they put it, for him. And one last vote under the wire: Bart Starr, Montana, Brady, and Bradshaw. That's somebody who's really going with winning being the top criteria right there. All right, Tony, got a top five favorite breakfast cereals of all time. What do you got?
Again, not in any particular order.
Oh, stop.
Here for me. I've
ranked mine.
I guess number five, if I had to put them in order, number five for me would be Batman the cereal.
Okay.
Which was basically Captain Crunch.
Okay.
But it was Batman.
Sure.
So as a kid, I loved that. Fruity Pebbles would be number four for me.
Dark Side.
I don't like, I'm not a big chocolate fan. We've been over this before. Chocolate's not my thing. So like Cocoa Pebbles and all that stuff that I know a lot of people love just don't make the list for me. Raisin Bran Crunch, number three.
Raisin Bran?
I love Raisin Bran. Like, I love Raisin Bran anybody, but
how
Raisin
old are
Bran
you?
Crunch, my whole life, I've always loved it. I've always preferred oatmeal cookies to chocolate chip cookies, too. I just do.
Okay, so Raisin Bran Crunch.
Frosted Flakes, too.
Frosted Flakes, awesome.
Honey Nut Cheerios, number one.
Not a fan of the honey. That's all right. It's very individual here. Tyler, what do you got?
From 5 to 1, I went with French Toast Crunch, which, if you remember, it was discontinued in 06. They brought it back, so that was number 5 for me. Number 4, Cocoa Pebbles, so you can have the chocolatey milk goodness at the very end. Always a great choice there.
Got a box at the house right now.
Number 3, Honeycombs. Always very good. Number two, Frosted Flakes. Me and Tony matched up there. And number one, Captain Crunch, but it has to have the berries in it. It has to have
the Crunch berries.
Absolutely.
Okay, because the original Captain Crunch is not. By the way, you realize the original the captain is not a captain.
Oh.
He's only got three stripes. He needs four. According to people have spotted this. This is like an issue with Captain Crunch.
I feel lied to.
I am. I do as well.
I have three of the five of my top five there at home right now. I have Raisin Bran Crunch, Honey Nut Cheerios, and Frosted Flakes at my house right now.
I have the only ones I buy anymore are my top three. My top five, number five is Cocoa Krispies, okay? Like Rice Krispies, but the chocolate version, yeah. Right? And I remember, you know, I don't remember them with Snap, Crackle, and Pop on the box. I remember them with the elephant on the box back in the day. Raisin Bran, me too. Raisin Bran,
I love it.
Especially because the raisins were like little sugar-coated, right? Yep. It wasn't just like plain raisin. Raisin Bran was the goods. When I was coming up. So I was a fan of that. Fruit Loops, number three. It's can't beat it. Well, you can if you have a bowl of Frosted Flakes or you have a bowl of Cocoa Pebbles. Cocoa Pebbles is the Cadillac of cereals, ladies and gentlemen. It's the perfect consistency. You can just fill up the bowl right
to the
brim.
The glass of chocolate milk at the end is just
you just drink it right down. It's fantastic. Cocoa Pebbles. They didn't always have the best prizes in the box. Cocoa Pebbles kind of weak in that regard. That's a whole other category, though. Let's see. Here we got from James. Number one, easily Frosted Flakes, best cereal of them all, followed by Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Lucky Charms, Fruit Loops, Captain Crunch with Crunch Berries. Adrian said Fruity Pebbles, Apple Jacks, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Vanilla Chex, gluten-free, and Peanut Butter Crunch. Kevin said Rice Krispies, Raisin Bran, Grape Nuts. Oh, here's an old dude. Rice Chex and Honey Nut Cheerios. Sorry, Kevin. Grape Nuts, my brother, those are little pebbles, man. Dustin, best Lucky Charms, worst plain Cheerios. Not any kid who's under the age of two. They don't agree with that. Tony said Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Fruit Loops, Sugar Smacks, Fruity Pebbles. He's in my neck of the woods there. Alan went with Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Boo Berry, all the monsters, Trix, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms. So he threw in a sixth, and we got a few more. Dig'em Smacks made somebody's top five. Those things are horrendous, man. Dig'em Smacks? I used to eat them when I was a kid, but
I don't mind Smacks. I actually preferred like the off-brand Smacks.
Did you?
I did.
Generic Smacks.
Yeah, to the regular Smacks. Maybe because Smacks aren't great anyway.
I like Corn Pops better than the Dig'em Smacks, but Corn Pops are awful. They're just terrible.
You got to eat them quick.
Because they get super soggy.
Yeah, they get super soggy. I like Corn Pops, but you got to eat them quick.
All right. Well, you kind of have to. You can't let Cocoa Pebbles sit too long, right? The milk is great. I don't want the milk with just a bunch of soggy pebbles. Just eat them. Get to eating, right? Get down to business, and you're good. Those are the only ones I have at the house. The only ones I'll buy, though, are Cocoa Pebbles, Frosted Flakes, and Fruit Loops these days. And it's always an impulse buy, man. It's usually a BOGO at Publix or something like that. I just can't resist. National Cereal Day. What are you going to do? All right. Thanks to Wild West Guns and Gold, our Monday sponsor of Jaguars Today. Appreciate Johnny O from Jaguars.com, John Osier, for stopping by today. Make sure you stay up to date with everything going on with Jaguar Free Agency over the next couple days as it's impending with the folks over at Jaguars.com. So that does it for us today. For Tyler Devitt and Joe Fortunato, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Don't forget, Jag fans, if you're a season ticket holder in 2015 and you have not renewed, today is the deadline to renew and not get a bump in pricing. So get it done sometime today. It took me literally less than 5 minutes online this morning to do it, and I'm not nearly as computer savvy as most of you out there, so you would get it done even quicker than I would. That's going to do it for us today as we march closer to free agency. Get to tampering, Dave Caldwell, in about 7 minutes. Get to your legal tampering coming up here. XL Primetime is straight ahead on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo!
That's great job!